Good afternoon. We are very pleased to this afternoon be interviewing Ian White, who is currently the Chief Executive Officer of the Canadian Wheat Board in his office on Main Street in Winnipeg, Manitoba. And I guess we'll start this afternoon's interview by asking you to describe a little bit about how you got involved in the grain trade, not necessarily just the Canadian grain trade.
Well, I think it's probably, from my career's point of view, important to just describe the early days of my career. I had actually been involved in part-time in Australia, part-time farming some agricultural pursuits privately, and I basically left the workforce and was doing some farming with a partner, and it was at a time in the 80s when prices were not that good, and it was decided, because I had the best qualifications, that I should probably look for a job. And I was an accountant before that. So I was fortunate enough to get a job as a grower payments accountant at a company called Elders QGGA Grain in Toowoomba in Australia. And this company was an offshoot or a subsidiary of a larger Australian company at the time, and quite a successful one, called Elders IXL. And they, as I'd been out of the workforce for a number of years and I was in my early to mid-30s, I was able to take what I was looking for, whatever job I could get in this town. And I knew a little bit about the grain trade, so that I think I was appointed because of that. And I fairly quickly moved through that company, because I'd had a lot of experience in any case, and I was starting in a fairly lowly accounting position, to become the commercial manager of that business and then the chief financial officer of that business. And they were trading grains mainly in those days, crops like sorghum and sunflowers, special crops, and not very much wheat, because the wheat was all controlled in those days in Australia by the Australian Wheat Board. The Elders IXL company had an agribusiness section, which we were part of, and they decided to expand their grain business into the US and Canada and other parts of the world. And they bought a business in Canada called Allstate Grain. I think it was 1987 or something like that. And I was the token Australian to come up and be at the business on behalf of the head office in Australia. They had bought some other grain businesses in the US and had a head office in Kansas City. And so I was their Canadian manager, so to speak, at that time. There was a president of that company and a senior vice president that were previous owners of the business they purchased, and who were actually the main operators of the business. And over a period of a couple of years, those people actually left the organization, and I became the president of the business. I think it was called Executive Vice President in those days of Elders Grain Canada. And we were mainly a special crops trading business. We were based in Vancouver, and we purchased a number of cleaning plants in the prairies, the large Moose Jaw ex-government terminal, grain terminal, and a number of other businesses, including an oilseed crushing plant in Montana and sunflower processing plant in North Dakota. Within a couple of years, Elders IXL decided to sell all of its agribusinesses around the world, and so I was asked to dispose of the business in Canada. And after a negotiation, I sold most of the business to the Saskatchewan Wheat Pool. And in terms of the assets, and or most of the assets, and we managed to dispose of the trading activities substantially to a company that was owned by the Prairie Pools in those days called XCan Grain. And Sask Wheat Pool asked me to go and work with them, basically to transfer of the assets into their business. And they started a company called AgPro Grain, which I became the first CEO of, which was a subsidiary of the Sask Wheat Pool. So I had a grounding in, this was basically the years from the early to mid 80s through to about 1991. I had a fairly interesting grounding in the Australian and the Canadian grain industry at that time, both from a financial aspect and from a management point of view. So I learnt an awful lot about the grain trade in those days. I became a member of the Winnipeg Commodities Exchange, and I suppose I learnt my grain trading knowledge, and I wouldn't class myself as a grain trader at all. I learnt my grain trading knowledge from having to account for it in my early career. Having to sit beside traders and be able to account for their profit and loss and their hedging activities in a fairly small company, which was Elders Grain at the time, meant that I had to actually spend long hours understanding exactly what they were doing. And I progressed in the early days as a commercial manager of that business to taking all their currency positions and hedging the Australian dollar at that stage through quite volatile times. And so when I came to Canada, I already had a number of the risk management skills or ideas that meant that I had a good grounding in the trade.
I have some questions based upon what you have said about the move of Elders from an Australian company to a multinational, I guess. Mm-hmm. What led them to want to make that major expansion?
Well, the Elders IXL company, that was the parent company, they were a large Australian conglomerate, well known in Australia at the time. A very high-profile CEO who was at the time also, you know, almost a business celebrity in Australia because they'd done extremely well. They owned the Carlton United Breweries, which the flagship brand was Foster's, and so they had a view of taking the Foster's brand worldwide, which they did. Bought businesses in Canada, Labatt's. Was one of those businesses. I remember being involved in the financing of that because I was one of the few Australians in Canada at the time. So, they had a view that they wanted to take a number of their businesses global. And in the agribusiness area, they had a brewing materials area that was a flow on from their brewing business. And that was a company called Barrett Burston, and they bought malt houses in various locations around the world. And they had a view that they could trade grain basically based on their Australian experience. And some of the people they had, which were people that had worked for other grain companies in North America, they had a view that they could actually do well in grain in North America particularly, and they ended up buying quite a number of facilities and grain elevators and facilities in the US.
Was it strictly a looking at the profit and loss statements of the companies that they were looking to buy, or did they have some sense of certain types of companies, for example, the businesses they were in were likely to do to serve them well as opposed to be duds?
Yeah. I think they had a view that they wanted to grow, that they had been growing the Elders IXL business by acquisition, and they wanted to grow the that business in the grain industry by acquisition rather than organic growth. And they just looked for, I think at the time, they really just looked for likely targets to buy. I think they probably looked at the Canadian landscape, and none of the main businesses at the time, the main family businesses or the pools were for sale. And so there was a business which was a special crops business for sale. So they thought they could use that as a springboard to get into the mainstream grain industry in Canada.
Was Allstate a publicly owned company or was it a family company?
No, it was a privately owned company. I think there were four main partners who'd started that company and taken it to a position of reasonable prominence at the time in the special crops industry.
You mentioned the beer business. We haven't done a lot of interviewing on the beer side of the grain industry. We're really looking forward to that. But given that you mentioned Foster's Beer and the buyout of Labatt's, and that you were fairly close to the action, was there much difference between the beer industry in Australia versus the beer industry in Canada?
No, I don't think so. I think the same sort of idea was the case in both countries. A few well-known brands. They, of course, wanted to buy brewing facilities that could make their Foster's brand, and so they that was part of their sort of growth strategy. They felt that if they could bring Foster's to prominence around the world, that would provide them with additional growth as well as the brands of the companies that they were buying. So they bought businesses in the UK very extensively, and then they had the Foster's brand made under contract by other businesses in other countries.
So when you said they were looking for a company that could make their brand, why wouldn't any company be able to make their brand?
I think there were two parts to the business. They were already a very successful brewer with other brands in Australia, not just the Foster's brand. In fact, at the time, Foster's wasn't their main brand in Australia. I think they felt that owning breweries, there was good profits to be made, but they also wanted to brand their product very, very well. And so branding of a particular beer, going global with that, I think they felt that was one of the things that they'd seen some of the European brewers, Heineken and others doing, and Carlsberg, etc., doing that. And I think their view was that they could emulate that sort of growth. And they became a very substantial brewing company when all was said and done in world terms, I think, at that time.
So if I'm following the action, they bought a number of interests, and then at some point, not really too far into the future, they then divested themselves of it. So tell us a bit about how that came about.
Yeah, I don't really know. I was not part of their senior management grouping that decided that. I think they felt that by selling off parts of the business and by breaking up the business, it was a conglomerate company, and they felt that they could probably make greater value for shareholders by doing that than keeping it all together. I think they also recognised that in terms of running a publicly traded company, grain businesses are inherently risky, and there are profits and losses to be made. And we'd been through some fairly volatile times through the US drought of 1988, soybean prices and corn prices had gone quite high in historic terms. there was money made and probably on the way down money lost. I think they felt that as a use of capital in a publicly traded company where you're reporting basically every quarter to shareholders and your share price is going to fluctuate based on some of the information you give, just being in the grain trading business in particular was a pretty difficult thing to be in. So I think that might have played heavily on their minds at the time. But I think they basically disposed of a lot of their businesses through a period of a few years after that. And the company actually, the Elders IXL company, changed dramatically and their beer business was spun off into a separate company, publicly traded company in Australia called Foster's, is still a company in Australia. The Elders part, which was a large section of a large rural network of rural suppliers and local auction marts, etc., basically in every town in Australia, is still in existence as its own publicly listed company. So I think eventually the company broke up into pieces that were more easily able to be understood by shareholders rather than a large cooperative.
You mentioned that you then moved into a position with a spin-off company associated with the Saskatchewan Wheat Pool, AgPro.
Mm-hmm.
What was AgPro's business in relation to the usual business of a pool?
Sorry, I was going to cough there. Yeah, sorry.
No problem. So you stopped? Yeah, in that instance, we'll go to a new thing, so we'll now be starting a new track.
Oh, okay.
That's not a problem, but for next pause, press that one. Yeah.
Okay.
Great. That's the usual learning curve.
Good.
Oh, there
stop.
We go.
Don't stop.
Stop?
Okay.
I'm gonna get that.
Were you jotting something down?
Oh, just the name of the company.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay.
So, we want me to...